पूजा बिहारी। गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, शोरनंदना ब्रज जन रंजना, या शोरनंदना ब्रज जन रंजना, जमुना तीरा पनचारी, तीरा पनचारी, चयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Ram Hare Ram Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare, Hare Bol Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Prevagacharya Sturusat Devangrese Si Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai Nanda Guri Vaishnavina Iskon Fongracharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Sikaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Daita Garadarshi Sri Vasudeva Gaura Bhaktavinda. All glories to the assembly devotees. All glories to the assembly devotees. All glories to the assembly devotees. All glories to Shushi Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 12, text 39. Word for word. Itihasa. Histories. Puranani. The Puranas. Supplementary Vedas. Panchamam. The fifth. Vedam. The Vedic literature. Ishvara, the Lord. Sarvebhya, altogether. Eva, certainly. Vaktrebhyaha, from his mouth. Sashrije, created. Sarva, all around. Darshanaha, one who can see all time. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Oh, sorry, divorce. Itihasa Puranani Panchamam Vedamishvara Sarvebhya eva vaktrebhya Shashrije sarvadarshanaha Itihasa puranani Panchamam vedamishvara Sarvebhya eva vaktrebhya Shashrije sarvadarshana Itihasa puranani Panchamam vedamishvara Sarvebhya eva vaktrebhya Shashrije sarvadarshana Itihasa Puranani Panchamam Vedamishvara Sarvebhya Viva Vakrebhya Shashrije Sarvadarshana Itihasa Puranani Panchamam Vedamishvara Sarvebhya Eva Vaktrebhya Sashrije Sarvadarshana Itihasa Puranani Panchamam Vedamishvara Sarvebhya eva vaktrebhya Shashrije sarvadarshana Mataji Itihasa puranani Panchamam vedamishvara Sarvebhya eva vaktrebhya Shashrije sarvadarshana Itihasa puranani Panchama vedamishvara Sarvebhya eva vaktrebhya Shashrije sarvadarshana Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Then he created the fifth Veda, the Puranas and the histories, from all his mouths, since he could see all the past, present, and future. Purport. They are histories of particular countries and nations of the world. But the Puranas are the histories of the universe, not only in one millennium, but in many kalpas. Brahma has knowledge of those historical facts, and therefore all the Puranas are histories. As originally composed by Brahma, they are part of the Vedas and are called the fifth Veda. Om Gyana Tirmanasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Saksham Tamyena Tasmai Shri Guru Bhinam Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapnayena Bhuta Swayam Rupa Karamaya Nudadi Svapadantika Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Deita Gadada Shri Asrigo Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, whenever a new object or a new vehicle comes out, it comes out with a manual. Every good manufacturer brings forth a manual, which is important, because from that manual you can able to understand how to operate that vehicle or equipment or whatever. So similarly, Brahma has created this universe and he brings forth this manual of the Vedas and its supplements, which are like the Puranas, Itihasas, Samhitas, and the rest. These literatures are also important, especially for time, place, and circumstance. The Vedas were very prevalent and very relevant during the pure ages, Satyayuga, Treta, and Dwapara. But in Kali Yuga, the Vedas itself, even though it's relevant to some extent, but it's broken down further and explained within the supplements of the Puranas, the Samhitas, and the other scriptures. So in this verse, it's specifically stated that the Puranas came from his mouth. And there are 18 major Puranas. Six in the mode of goodness, or the goodness sattva guna, six in the Raja guna, and six in the Tamasic guna. The Bhagavad Purana, Vishnu Purana, Naradiya Purana, the Padma Purana, and Varaha Purana. Those are in the goodness mode. And then you have the Brahma Vaivarta, Brahmananda, Markandeya, Bhavishta, Vamana, and Brahma Puranas. Those are in the sattvic, in the rajastic guna modes. And then you have the Shiva, Matsya, Kurma, Linga, Skanda, and Agni within the tamasic mode. And these Puranas, they're beneficial for the people in these modes also, because not everyone is in the goodness mode or in the transcendental mode. And so it's important to note that they were there. Let me see. There's a. There is. A special verse for that one. Okay, yeah. Tri gunaya vishaya veda, nishtrai gunyo bhavarjuna. The Vedas deal mainly with the subject of the three modes of material nature. Of course, this also applies to the Puranas, which is considered the fifth Vedas. Yavanarta udapane sarvata samplutodake. All purpose served by a small well cannot once be served by a great reservoir of water. Similarly, all the purposes of the Vedas can be served to one who knows the purpose behind them. See? And the purpose of the Vedas is to know Krishna. To know Krishna. There's another verse for that. Vedasya. Yeah. Of all the Vedas, I am to be known. Right? There's. Yeah. Vedasya sa sarva. Aham eva vedyo. By all the Vedas, I am to be known. And then atosmi loke vedacha. I am celebrated both in the world and in the Vedas as that supreme person. So the Vedas, they're meant to teach us how to get by in this world. And like I said, they're most relevant in the purer ages. But for us, we utilize the Puranas mostly, especially the Bhagavad Purana, which we'll glorify later on. But also the other Puranas have important topics. Well, all of them deal mainly with five essential topics. And then, like the Bhagavad Purana goes on to 10 essential topics. Creation, annihilation, manus and time, solar and the solar dynasty and the Soma dynasty, and geography of the universe. So these are also there, and then the Bhagavatam goes on more with the pastimes of Krishna, devotional service, and perfection of devotional service, and so forth. So, but because there are these 18 major Puranas, we cannot really dismiss them as really unimportant. I mean, to some extent, for a transcendentalist, but for a preacher can gather lots of information from these Puranas. For example, the Bhavishta Purana is considered the future Purana, and the Bhavishta tells about future events or events that were to come. And because all the Puranas and the Vedas are written 5,000 years, Bhavishta gives events after 5,000 years. Like, for example, Jesus came in 2,000 years ago. So Bhavishta tells about Jesus. Then Muhammad came like 1,000 years ago. The Bhavishta tells about that. And it also tells about the degradation of the age and the degradation of the language. Originally, Sanskrit was spoken throughout the world. Sanskrit, the Sanskrit language, was spoken throughout the world. But with time, in this Kali Yuga, it's broken down. Gradually broken down. And so, and Bhavishta gives a nice explanation how it's been broken down. And so you have all these hundreds of languages now See? Gradually. Broken down like that. So Bhavishta is important. If I can recall, maybe, you know, just to touch upon them a little bit, if I can recall, Bhavishta says about Jesus. It stated that there was a king called Salivahan. That was the time during Vikramaditya time, and that's about 2,000 years ago. Vikramaditya was a powerful king. I don't know if any one of you know of him really, but he was very, very powerful. So Salivahan was also around that era. Either the son of Vikramaditya or the grandson, I cannot remember. And so he was wandering in the Himalayan regions, and there he met Jesus. He met this, you know, beautiful looking person, white in complexion, and he was wearing all white. And he said, "Who are you?" You know, he was speaking to Jesus. And Jesus says, "I am Ishaputra, the son," meaning the son of God or the son of Ishwar, you know, who is really Krishna, you see? He says like that. And then Salivan says, "Well, what's your role? I mean, what's your role here?" He says, "I've been sent to preach to the malichas and the yavanas. I've been sent to preach to the lowest of men." He says, "These people don't know what is dharma or what is adharma. They don't know what is dharma and what is adharma. And so I'm here to teach them." And he says, "Well, how would you go about doing that?" He said, "I would teach them in simple instructions. I would teach them in simple instructions. I would teach them how the name of the Almighty or how to glorify the Almighty, and teach them about Dharma." See? And then Salivahan says, "Okay, that's very good. So my blessings to you. May you go and preach." See? So that's interesting. That's in Bhavishta. And then also Bhavishta speaks about Muhammad. That was like 1,000 years ago. And Muhammad met another king called Bhojraj. Bhojraj was one of the main kings of India then. And so he was traveling to the western side. That was like in the desert, Rajasthan or somewhere. Wherever. And then he met Muhammad here. But of course, Bhavishta did not paint a very good picture of Muhammad. He actually said that he was a demon in his past birth, and he came back to speed up a dharma. See? And it explains about his followers and everything and what they would do and so forth. You see? But by them practicing that kind of a life, they speed up the degradation of Kali Yuga. And there's a lot of other things. He did a few miracles and ding there. And then Bhojraj left, and he realized that Muhammad would lead these people and so forth. And so he left. And then Bhavishta also speaks about part of the Bible, different parts. Little parts of Genesis and so many different things are also in Bhavishta. And then, like I said, it speaks about the degradation of the language and so forth. And I'm thinking also it speaks about the sacrifice of Janamejaya. When the snake bit When a snake bit Maharaj Parikshit, his son Janamejaya was upset about that, and he wanted to take revenge. So he performed a huge snake sacrifice, and he stated that, and he had powerful Brahmas. And as these Brahmanas were chanting the mantras, these snakes were flying from all over the world, flying all over the world and falling in that jagya. So powerful were the Brahmanas. You know, it was explained that. And then I think Lord Brahma and Indra came and stopped the sacrifice. You know, like that. Yeah, so Bhavishta explains all of these things. Then we can touch. We'll touch upon a few of the Puranas and a little bit of the thing, just for us to get some idea what's taking place. Then there is the Garuda Purana. Yeah, the Garuda Purana. It stated that one is in the sattvic, rajastic mode, and that. The highlight of that Purana is explaining the journey of the soul. Elaborately. The journey of the soul is elaborately explained in the Garuda Purana. It's explained in the Bhagavatam. But Srimad Bhagavatam explains a lot of things in synopsis, to speak, or like in short form. Didn't give like great details. But Bhavishta gives, Garuda gives great details about the soul. It's stated for the sinful soul after it dies, it's given what you call a suffering body. It's given a suffering body, and for all the sinful act it committed, then there's so many different type of sufferings it has to go through. Stated like for one that eats meat, it's stated that those animals would take vicious forms and peck him, like say the birds or chickens and so forth. And they would so this person now, this soul gets a suffering body. Gets a body that can endure, undergo suffering. But even though the body is almost destroyed, it still holds up because it's meant to take suffering. But the soul is feeling it, you see? And it explains so much details about that. He said for those that eat meat, they're being eaten by lions and tigers and vicious dogs and vultures and all type of different horrible birds. It states that those that have illicit connections, they are placed on a hot iron statue of a male or female. It stated those that gamble, so many different things in details, you know. They're put to walk on a desert of hot sun. They're put to walk on leaves that are like sold. They're put to walk on sharp swords. They're hung by their legs on a special tree. That tree has special thorns on it. Silk cotton tree or something like that. It's called. Yeah. They're thrown into lakes. They're thrown off a mountain. They're mangled in so many ways. They're beaten by the Yamadutas. They're constantly being beaten, whipped, stabbed. They're starved. That is why people also perform the pindas, the strata ceremony, the pindas. When they perform pindas, that pindas go to their relatives. If a relative fall in the hellish planet, that food goes to them. That is why, especially within the Hindu culture, in the Karma Kanda section, they know about these things, you see? Because as they're moving, and they're moving from different hell, one hellish planet to another, But when the parents and the relatives perform these pindas and these ceremonies, they go there. See? And then that helps them there. But of course, for devotees, it's stated by devotees performing devotional service, that would eventually help 21 generations. 7 in the past, 7 in the present, and 7 in the future. You see, so we're not obligated to do these things, but by the mere act of devotion, devotional service, we can save our 4 parents, 4 fathers, and everything. But those activities are for people that are not performing devotional service. Then they have to observe these pinda ceremonies, strada, and everything. It's important. See? But Garuda, and then Garuda gives explanation. Actually, the Garuda Purana is spoken by Lord Krishna himself. Lord Krishna is speaking to Garuda. And it's stated when Lord Krishna is speaking to Garuda, when Garuda hears about the hellish planet, he starts to tremble and shakes. He becomes so fearful, you know. All his jaw and everything was like shaking, and he was trembling. He's saying, oh, Govinda, what is, you know, when you hear about the suffering in the planets, in the hellish planets, you see. And Garuda was actually crying, and he was asking, well, how? And Lord Krishna says, just to utter my holy names is such an easy thing. That's the easiest thing to do, but yet these rascals will not do it. And then they find themselves in these planets. He says, he's telling Garuda, if they can only utter my holy name, chant my holy name, they don't have to come here. They don't have to see Yama. They don't have to see the Yamadutas. But they don't want to do it. So that brings us to the important task. We have to preach. And all of us have to preach and learn the philosophy. Preach. You see? Cooperate. And there's different ways. But two very important ways. One is Harinam Sankirtan, and the other is book distribution. These are two powerful outreach programs. I mean, all the other programs are essential, deity worship, prasadam, all the other things. Well, giving out prasadam too, you see, all of these. But it's important that we educate ourselves and preach. Because it's already predicted that this movement has to go on for 10,000 years. So that's there already. Lord Chaitanya has set the groundwork for us. And all the acharyas, and Srila Prabhupada, especially. So now we have to help Srila Prabhupada. See? And we have to cooperate in this Sankirtan movement. That's why anytime you hear about Harinam, you have to come. We have to come, and we have to encourage the other devotees to do it. When you hear about book distribution, those that are good in it, they should come. You see? Because you have to preach. Yeah. And so that's the Garuda Purana, and there are the other Puranas. So Srila Prabhupada speaks about the history. Historians know about history. There's two types of history. There's regular history that's based on what's been documented, that's what's been written and recorded. And that started 5,000 years ago. So you have history then. And then you have prehistory, or prehistorical events. That's before writing and recording. Those are things. And those are ascertained through archaeology. The archaeologists, they would uncover different things, fossils, civilizations, and so forth. They would do all of these. And then this is how they find. But for us, we get our history through the Puranas and the other Shastras, all the other supplementary Shastras. That's how we get. And so The Purana says that Brahma, 50 years has passed for him, and he's on his 51st year. So we know that Brahma lives for 311 trillion years. But you can leave out the 11 and you just say it's 300 trillion. So if 50 years has passed, it means 150 trillion years has already passed for this universe. Because Brahma is born with the age of the with the universe. So right away we know the age of the universe. It means that the age of the universe is 150 trillion years. Quick time, that's an easy one. So I now can challenge a scientist. The universe is not 13.5 billion or 13.8 billion years, as you calculated. It's 155 trillion years. So now you prove me wrong. And I can prove you how we arrive at that number. You see? So that would set confusion in the camp of the scientists now, because they already have a lot of confusion. But that would set more confusion, because I'm giving them data that they don't know about. Another thing, another important event, and some devotee gave class the other day, and I was saying that how you can calculate the time. It stated that there are 14 Manus in the day of Brahma. 7 Manus have already gone, or we're on the 7th Manu. So if there's 14 Manus, we're on the 7th. It means that 14 Manu is almost 4.4 billion years, see? So if 7 Manus have passed, that's half of that, you see? Which is like 2 point something billion years. But the 7th Manu has not finished. So we can make calculation easily and tell so many things. Also, we can tell how long ago, when you speak about Swayambhuva Manu, that's the first Manu. So then, that is history 2 billion years ago. Swayambhuva Manu was here 2 billion years ago. You can know. Each Manu reigns for a little over 300 million years. So calculate, 7 is 21. That's 2,100,000,000 years. You see? So in this way, we have history. And generally, the Puranas and the Vedas and everything gives us history from this kalpa, the present kalpa. But they would also touch upon events on past kalpas, but those are not regular. Most of the historical events happen within this kalpa, within the reign of these 7 Manus. But that's a long time. That's 2 billion years of history we have there. That's a lot of history. The scientists, they know about some history, they're doing guesswork, so many things. But we know about it. So also what I told them the other day, at the end of every Manu there's a deluge or a flood. So if 6 Manu have passed, it means there were 6 great floods. They don't know about them. But they can see, they've uncovered a lot of fossils. Lots and lots of fossils. But they don't know how it's done. You see? But all these coverings are because of these events that have passed in the past. You see? So like that. So there are so many ways we can know and calculate events that's taking place. That is why Srila Prabhupada says, we know histories for so many kalpas. That's what he stated in the purport. And we know events that's taking place in the universe. And we know events that taking place in the spiritual world also. Isn't that true? We know about events that takes place in the spiritual world. It's stated, Shriya Kanta Kanta Paramam Purusha Kalpa Taravo. I worship the seat of Sweta Dweep, where the Lakshmis practice amorous service to Lord Krishna, where every tree is a transcendental wish-fulfilling tree, where the soil is the purpose gem, all the water is nectar, every word is a song, every move is a dance, where the cow gives an abundance of milk, where time is ever present without past or future. So this is events that is taking place in the spiritual world that we know of. And we hear of events from Brahmalok, from Chandralok, from Indralok, so many things. So all of this has happened. So that is why Srila Prabhupada is saying, Brahma has knowledge of those historical facts. There are histories of particular countries and nations of the world, but the Puranas are histories of the universe, not only in one millennium, but in many kalpas. See? Brahma has knowledge of those historical facts, and therefore all the Puranas are histories, all originally composed by Brahma. They are part of the Vedas and are called the fifth Vedas. And so maybe before I end, I can probably... I didn't get to touch on some of the other Puranas, but another fundamental point is that some of the other Puranas, or a lot of them, agree with one another in that the earth was ruled by Priyavrata. And then when his chariot created the seven ditches that formed the seven oceans, those seven dvipas he gave to his seven sons, and they ruled. So that's a good clue that the Bhumandal is this planet Earth, and it's been divided into these. But you know, we can always talk about that more with the BI guys. See? And I didn't talk about the Upanishads, but they're 108 Upanishads also, and Srila Prabhupada quote a lot from some of them, like the Kina Upanishad, the Katha Upanishad, Isha, Svetasvatara, Mundaka, Mandukya, Taittiriya, Chandogya, Brihadaranyaka. You see? Srila Prabhupada quoting all these Upanishads also. See? Yeah, yes, Mataji? Yeah? Okay, yeah. But I had wanted to glorify the Bhagavatam, but I mean we know about it. Let me quickly recite a few things. Dharma prajohita kaitavo, completely rejecting all religious activities which are materially motivated. This Bhagavata Purana profounds the highest truth. Nigama kalpa taror galitam phalam, O thoughtful men, relish Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the mature fruit of the Vedic literatures. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu, by regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam, and running service to the pure devotees, all that is troublesome to the heart is completely destroyed. Krishna sve damopagate, this Bhagavad Purana is as brilliant as the sun, and shall give light to all those in Kali Yuga. See? Okay. So so the Bhagavad Purana is the foremost and superior Purana, and it's been glorified by even all the other literatures too. And even though the other Puranas speak about sometimes Shiva and Brahma and so forth, they also glorify Krishna in a great way also. So okay, I'll stop here. Let me take some corrections and questions. Yes, Mataji? It's coming.
Thank you. This is all interesting. So you said that when a devotee performs devotional service, his 21 generations are liberated. And you said seven in the past, seven in the future, and seven in the present?
Present, yeah.
How are there seven generations in this present? Do you understand that?
Yeah, I fully love. So seven and 14. That would, from what I had heard, it's 21.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And of course, if you hit seven in the present, some of those, they're going to project different ways. But I think this was told to Prahlad Maharaj.
Yeah, 21.
Right? Yeah, Prahlad Maharaj. But maybe Pundarika or somebody else could elaborate more on that if they could. But anyhow, I heard it like that. But let me just take it for that. But I would try to find out a little bit more about that, really. But I understand your point. If you have seven present, you know, I mean, some would push to the past and the future also there. Yeah, that's right. Any other question? Yeah.
Yesterday, Pundarik Vidyaniti made a good point. He was saying is that in one of the verses that I read, number 37, that it's mentioned that the four Vedas were actually spoken by Brahma out of his four mouths.
Yeah.
So if you had one Veda, how is it that all of a sudden he's dividing up into these four Vedas? So the thing is that we don't know what kalpa this happened in, whether this was the beginning of Brahma's lifetime or whether this was the beginning of the day of Brahma after there's been a night of destruction and the Vedas have to be brought forward again. And the thing is that another way of looking at it, just an example, is that if you have it where each Vedic literature is like a chapter of a book, there's one book, one Veda, and that 5,000 years ago, then each chapter became a book. So therefore is that then each rishi was in charge of the different books chapters.
Jaimini, Pila, and so forth. Yeah.
Right. And so the thing is I haven't read specifically anywhere about exactly when the different statements are made, like by Brahma when he created and exactly what kalpa was.
Yeah.
There might be something there.
But if the four Vedas come out from the mouth, from the four mouths of Brahma and the Puranas and everything. I mean, all these knowledge were usually given to the head Brahmanas. You know, and specifically the sutras used to be in charge of that. Like it stated, like Roma Harshana, a sutta is from a Brahmana and a Brahmana and a Kshatriya, I think. They usually take care of horses and chariots and things. That's why Karna was called Suta Putra. And he didn't like that. He wants to kill anybody that calls him Suta Putra. You see? But his adopted parents were Suta Sutas also, you see? Right. So Roma Harshana, he was in charge of that. And you know, all of these sutas, they were in charge of propagating the Vedic knowledge. You see? And so even though they were four Vedas, but when you know it, you know all the knowledge. But so you can present it as like one, you know. You could say, well, this Veda says this one, you know, whatever. I mean, it's not, you know. But of course, his main point was when Vyasadeva divided the one Vedas into four in Kaliyuga for simplicity and not more understanding, you know, like that, yeah. But anyhow, whatever it is really, the point is, you know, we utilize the knowledge.
Another point was is that the when you're talking about how Mahamad in the Bhavishya Purana became Muhammad,
yeah,
is that there's also the different iconoclastic you could say that are in that specific religion who came, Akbar and so many of the ones. Lord Chaitanya was saying that the Kali Yuga was not speeding up fast enough.
Yeah.
And so all of these different devotees who had committed offenses, they took birth in Kali Yuga as Akbar or you know, all the different iconoclasts, to speed up Kali Yuga. Sounds cruel in a way, but it's mentioned. That is mentioned in Brahma and the Bhavishya Purana.
It's stated here also. Also another thing stated, one of the Puranas too, is that that the Yakshas and Rakshas in the Himalayas, they're devotees of Lord Shiva and Kuvera. The Sukracharya, because he was the preceptor, he begged Lord Shiva to bless them with the benediction that they born in Kali Yuga as men, not as Rakshas and Yakshas. But you know, as men, but we still find that they develop some of these bad qualities, you see? And most of them also, it's stated, some actually took birth as Muslims.
I would be careful about worrying about other religions, you know? Especially
Well, we were discussing about the Puranas.
Especially that one in particular. I mean, when I was walking up here, you know, someone came out of the class pretty, like, concerned about that.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, you know, that the, you know, sort of slipshod criticism of other religions, particularly leaders of other religions, could be counterproductive, you know. But, so just be careful. But one thing about Akbar, I don't know that he was an iconoclast. I mean, he was very facilitating of
a very
broad-minded sense of religion. I'm not saying he was in focus, but very facilitating. He was married to Hindu princesses.
Right.
But one thing he did do that was kind of interesting, he facilitated the translation of Sanskrit texts into Persian, a lot of them. He had a huge thing going on. He had a whole Mahabharata translated into Persian. And these Persian texts made it to Europe.
Yeah.
And they knew Persian in Europe. And that the first Sanskrit, you know, in the modern era, during the Enlightenment, these texts were getting translated into European languages. And this had a profound influence. I mean, again, it wasn't in focus, but it helped cultivate the environment as more and more would be entering the global cultural movement.
Yeah, of all the Mughal,
you know, everything has an upside, has a downside, and we just want to get chant Hare Krishna and take some prasadam.
Thank you for your input. Yeah, Akbar, he helped a lot. He was more lenient with the Vedic culture than any of the other Muslim emperors. Yeah, Prabhu.
Yeah, something for research. I think I've read someplace, but we talked about today in the purport, Srila Prabhupada was talking about the Puranas are histories of the universe, but then there's the Itihasas, which are called histories. So what is the difference between a Purana and an Itihas? Somebody
Itihasa,
knows,
I think the Ramayana and the Mahabharata and so fall within the Itihasas. And they're also stories, what is heard. But the Puranas means old, ancient. And the Itihasas, they are events that took place maybe later on. And, you know, like especially let me see if I have anything about it. But the Ramayana and the Mahabharata are considered Itihasas. Let me see if that is true or... Okay, Itihasas are narratives of past events, but maybe not as old as the Puranas. But even the Purana also can fall within the Itihasas too. But they have histories of beyond the Ramayana and the Mahabharata, like that. Any other points? Yeah, Mataji?
Hari Bol, thank you for a great class. I love history. Two questions. Would then, for me logically, it seems like then you had Sanskrit, and then it would become all the different dialects of Hindu.
Yeah.
And then it would come
even
out from there,
the war.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. And the second question, you said saving the generations. But what do you mean exactly by saving? Because you have sometimes some relatives that are just not going. You know, I'm not going to say anything specifically, but what do you mean by saved? Even if they're continuing to eat meat, they say Krishna is not real, you know, it's all, does that mean they're still saved?
So let me get a question. The Christians eat meat, right?
Wait a minute, excuse me, it's a relative.
Yeah, let me hear it, Mataji. I didn't get it quite
clearly. Okay, it's a relative. You know, you're saying about saving seven generations, past, present.
Yeah.
If you're a devotee.
Okay.
But if you have a relative that's still engaging these activities and they're telling you that Krishna is BS, does that mean they'll still be saved?
Well, eventually they will.
Eventually.
Eventually they will. They might have to go
through. I know he doesn't really mean it.
Yeah, yeah. They may have to go through some sufferings and things, really. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Of course. But the force of a devotee practice is powerful. That is why everyone should take seriously. All those that are listening online have to come and cooperate with us more and let us push on this Harinam Sankirtan. Hari, Hari.
I was just wondering, the Islamic religion, is that considered Muslim, the Islamic religion?
The Islamic religion, if it's considered? Yeah, Islamic.
But they bow down three times a day.
Five times, yeah.
Five times, okay. But they bow down to the Lord five times a day. And, I mean, they eat meat, a lot of them. But then there's sects of the Muslim religion, the Sufis.
Yeah, yeah,
they're
the Sufis.
They're vegetarian.
Yeah, they're vegetarian, yeah.
And they dance for the Lord.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And also the Matajis, I mean, they cover themselves. They're so they're so chaste.
Great point.
So I don't understand how it can be...
Speed up Kali Yuga. Well, I mean, I think it especially has to do with the cows and things like that, you know. All the other religions eat meat. But when I write, I said that the Muslim women are very chaste. They always cover their head and dress modestly. And they're dedicated to their faith in the sense that they're doing a lot of praying and things. I mean, I would say even for that horrible cow eating and stuff, I mean, they can, you know, they're doing fairly well, you know. And of course, like the fighting and stuff like that. But otherwise, you know, they're. Yeah, well, I'm touching upon. Well, they have their teachings is jihad, right? I mean, I don't want to elaborate on it. I knew a lot about Islam. I was engaged with a Muslim girl, you know, so I know a lot, you know. So anyhow. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.